So you've heard about the anxiety that comes from every trip to the mailbox, but have you heard that it's possible to permanently remove that worry so you can focus on your family? Welcome to the Tax Answers Advisor. I'm your host, Marcelino Dodge, enrolled agent and certified tax representation consultant. Today, we're focusing and speaking about something essential, removing, that is, the shame and isolation that comes with difficult life challenges. Whether it's a child struggling with anxiety or a taxpayer feeling exposed and vulnerable because of unfiled tax returns, the solution starts with finding a safe path forward. We have a family therapy expert here to discuss healing, and we'll look at how moving from fear to confidence changes everything. But are you feeling annoyed, embarrassed, or overwhelmed by IRS harassment? You don't have to face the government alone. I help clients eliminate the worry of liens, levies, and future surprises so you can stop feeling victimized by the system. Let's make sure you're never late again. So please visit taxreliefcall.com to schedule your appointment and to begin your healing process. Today, I'm welcoming Lydia Schneider, our family therapy expert today, to discuss all this topic in a family therapy manner, which is going to be quite interesting because, once again, as I mentioned on other podcasts, we all do a type of healing. It's just interesting how it all comes together in actuality. And we're going to discuss how, in this case, how it comes together in family therapy. But I want to go ahead and, again, thank you, Lydia, for joining me today. And I'm going to invite you to share a little bit about yourself and about your background.
Thank you, Marcelino, for having me. It's a joy to be on here. So I'm excited to talk about it in my passion. So I'm Lydia Schneider, and my background starts with I was elementary education at first for my bachelor's, and I realized quickly that I didn't like the standards of that everyone puts on kids. And so it actually full circle back to what I do now, exactly what I do. I do not put standards on kids. Then I started sociology and gender studies, and I really focused on criminal justice and gender studies. After that, it ended up being like a lot of nonprofit work, and it was great, but I wasn't really in it. And I wanted to be so direct with families and kids. I wanted to be with kids. But then I got my master's in social work at UCCS, so local. And I started an internship where I just worked with individuals on depression, anxiety, and specifically, I actually did a trauma focused. And so I was trained in EMDR, which we'll talk about later on, I guess, in the podcast. But I realized after a few years that I wanted to work with kids. I want to go back with kids because my heart is always with kids. I was that person who just, like, I was a baby hog. I am a kid person and I'm a child at heart. So it is like what I do now is fully where I'm supposed to be. And I'm just so happy that I got here. So thank you. Thanks for having me. Let me talk about it.
And Lydia, it's great. It's really wonderful when each of us can work in our passions. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, is because you are so passionate about what you do, just like I'm passionate about what I do. So that's what brings us together in being able to discuss this from different perspectives and how we each, once again, as I mentioned, we heal people. We just do it in a different way. So we are connected in healing.
I love that. I think that's so true.
Yes. So just to kind of, I think you touched on this a little bit in introduction, but what motivated you to specialize in therapy for children and families, and particularly those like between the ages of 5 to 18?
Yeah, well, I did touch on it a little bit. It is like something I've always been drawn to as children. I was a nanny. I did so many childcare things and development. I really, really loved child development and psychology. So that was what motivated me. But what really motivates me is because it's a niche. To be a child therapist is really, really specific. And a lot of therapists, I don't know many that really want to be a child therapist. And so it's hard to get the training. It's hard to get supervised. It's hard to get those hours. There's a lot of challenges. But what motivates me is those little kids and actually seeing them go through their process and heal and not need me anymore. That's the cool part, is like, they don't need me anymore. They got all the tools that I gave them. So that's what motivates me every day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fantastic to hear of your little journey to get where you are, because I had one similar, and just because I started in tax, I was like, oh, I can do this. And I started working on it. It's been 20 some years since I've been in tax, But then just in the last few years, I've started to niche. And like you talk about, a niche and focusing on solving tax problems is a niche for people that gets them also. But a slight difference from you is the fact that just because I get done with them doesn't get done with the resolution work and getting their tax issue solved. We like to try to help them continue to maintain that compliance there with the tax as well. So it's an ongoing process, but yeah, and I'm sure you give a little bit of support along the way if it would be needed as well.
I say that I'm still there. There's still this invisible string. I'm still supporting them, rooting them on. And that's one of the coolest parts.
Yeah. So then we have some common concerns. In your perspective, what are some of those common mental health challenges that you're seeing in children and teens today?
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing I see is severe anxiety, especially with the Generation Alpha, Gen Z. There's so much anxiety about real life experiences. And I have my own theories about it. There's a lot of theories. If you want to read a good book on it, it's called Anxious Generation. Please read that book. It is so real because I see this with so many kids where they have less risk outside in the real life experiences. And they don't go risk. So parents are more protective. They don't trust the world as much. But then they have total freedom online. And online is not the real world. So it's just really hard to see a kid come and they're like, what do I do in like a social situation? Or, oh, I have so many kids of like, I don't want to go to school. This is too hard to do. It's just so intense. And then I think another thing is they don't want to drive. I don't know if you noticed that. There's a lot of kids who just like don't want to drive. I get that it's anxiety inducing, but I'm there to encourage them. Like hard things are really good for us. And so I see that with kids. And then again, I specialize in trauma. And so I do have kids come with high trauma. And that is a lot of work. That is not just a, here's some tools I can give you like right away. Trauma is a whole like life narrative that you have to work with and be there every moment. And I think there's a question, I don't know if you're going to get to, but the safe bodies, that's where it goes. Like, how can you be safe in your body? How can you trust your own little self to work through that? And I guide them. I tell them, like, you have everything in you that's already there. And I don't know, I bet you do that with tax. You're like, you have it in you, do hard things all day. So I think little kids don't realize that it's the emotion they're scared of, but it really isn't what they're really scared. They can get through the emotion and then they can do the thing that they're most afraid of.
It's interesting. The thing I have noticed, which I can't relate to, because when I was ready to start driving as soon as I became of age. But I have seen that a lot of young people was put off driving. And I'm like, whoa, that used to be a thing. As soon as they got of age to drive, but they can get their license still at 16, but some are 17, 18, 19. Some of them are even waiting until age 20, which is, it's really unusual to me. But I do see from what you've shared is that it's those anxieties. They have a lot more anxieties perhaps than I did growing up. And perhaps even you're a little closer to them, but maybe even from the time that, from when you started too, 100%. Okay. And see, that's the challenges that people come through in tax as well. They get the anxiety, they get the sleepless nights, they have all of that come in, which is what having a tax issue will do to you. So anyway, and that's commonly what I see. And a lot of times it's just people ignoring it, thinking it's going to go away. But it doesn't. It doesn't. Exactly. Or as a case I was working on recently, it took me a few months to figure out, oh, this is what that is all about. And so they're stressed. And I'm like, well, this is what you need to do. But I don't know if you encounter this, but sometimes when I'm doing this, sometimes they don't like the answer I give them.
Oh, yeah. So much. Oh, yeah. These little kids, they're really frustrated. But the whole process is to build their frustration tolerance, is to build that. Like, it's okay to be frustrated, but what do you do now? What's a healthy response for them?
Yeah. And so, and that's what I kind of got to work through in a tactful way of explaining to them, this is the answer, but then this is how we can, even though we don't like this answer, this is how we can get to the solution. And this is the solution. Now, just like in your case, the kids still have to either act on that or respond to it. The taxpayers I work with have to be willing to do that. And sometimes I give them an answer and they don't want to do it. I'm like, okay. Or they want to go elsewhere. And I'm like, okay. But we just keep working at it there. So interested in this part here about explaining child-centered play therapy and why that's a powerful intervention.
Yeah, so I'm trained in CCPT is what you called it.
Yeah.
Child-centered play therapy. It's based off of person-centered and strength-based. So what I do is it's child-led. So child comes in, and if you think about it, every area of their life is in others' control. Their parents, their teachers, every other place. This is a place they get the control. They get the autonomy. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm doing is guiding them to build the internal resources to deal with their emotions, understand how to cope, anything, know what to do in a situation, how to handle communication. They just do it themselves. They have it in them. So what happens is in child-centered play therapy, every toy is purposeful. So their toys are words and the play is their language for a kid. Mm-hmm. And so every toy I have, it, like a baby doll, is a nurturing toy. So everything has a purpose in my playroom. And so they have the autonomy. I say, you get to play with all the toys in most of the ways you like. And they play with the toys in the way they need to play with the toys to work through their things. And I see it in every case. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't go unsaid. Even the harder traumatized kids, they take a while, right? It's longer. Mm-hmm. And every kid has different stages, but I see it all. They all work mm-hmm. through it in that way because kids don't have prefrontal cortex developed fully. So they don't go to logic. They live in their body. And so they play it out. That's why imaginary play and symbolism is so huge for kids to express themselves.
That's very interesting to learn there. In a similar way, that's how I try to help taxpayers when they come to me with their issue. I basically guide them through the process. I mean, and just like there's like guidance that you provide, but the child has their choices that they're making within it there. See, I guide the taxpayer through the process of it, but there's still responsibilities that they have to choose, they have to do. In some cases, there's paperwork they have to provide to me. If they don't provide the paperwork that I need to accomplish what I need to do, then that just makes the process go even longer. And it's nice that you're empowering the children with a certain amount of personal responsibility, helping them take a little bit of it on. See, and that's the same with fixing taxpayers' issues, is that they need to take on some personal responsibility, grab onto it, and allow to be guided through the process, which is the process you're essentially guiding them through there, just allowing them the amount of control, which they don't normally have in most situations there. That's very beautiful to see there. So, and you talked a little bit about, you mentioned this a little bit just a moment ago about children feeling safe in their bodies. So how do you help the children to feel safe in their bodies, especially those who have had a traumatic or a chronic anxiety problem?
So a lot of times when they've expressed emotions, it hasn't had a healthy response, or it's been a negative connotation. So what I do is I change that narrative where, like, frustration, anxiety, and fear have a purpose. And I let them feel it, experience, go through all the bubbles. And I say, like, oh, you're feeling a little tense. Oh, you're squaring. Oh, I notice you feel lighter. I walk them through what is happening in their body. And a big thing in child-centered play is reflection. So I reflect, oh, you're feeling scared. You are scared right now. That lets them allow. They do not respond to questions, by the way. Kids do not want questions. So you can always turn a question into a statement, and that's a huge skill. And kids respond so much with the statement because they're like, I am scared. And they get to experience that in their bodies. Once they go through that, I just see this relief. This finally somebody sees me and hears me, and I can be safe. That's the coolest part. And once they feel safe enough, then things start coming out. They start really working through really hard things. Like, my dad abandoned me. That it hurts. Like, they actually be vulnerable, and they don't hold that, all that pain and that wounds or those wounds. And they don't let that bleed out into other areas of life or aggression. Every child's behavior is just a need that they're just not knowing how to express. So it's really interesting. I think, yes, that's where I go.
Well, all that anxiety and trauma, and it's so sad that a child even has to go through that or experience that. So it's nice you have those great techniques to help them to work through those, to get it expressed properly and get it out properly there in a way that's healthy. And that's great to see. And see, that's what brings taxpayers to me so often, is tax trauma, anxiety, and then helping them to get through those challenges and then getting them comfortable. Because even to a certain extent, when we're starting fresh, it's like they have a hesitation. They have a certain, we have to build trust, just like in any relationship, and then help them to realize that we're going to get you past this, but here's what we're going to do it. But I do need your help to get you past this trauma. I do need documents. I do need cooperation. I do need these things because the IRS, when we go to deal with tax, can be very reasonable, but you just got to work through their process and go through their process. And in some cases, well, in most cases, actually be proactive and just understand what's going on and know what questions to ask, which is my job to know what questions to ask the IRS to get down to the issue and then put it in a way that my client can understand so that their anxiety can come down and they can be ready to move forward without the anxiety and the trauma there. Because some people have actually been traumatized by tax. It's amazing what I've encountered in this business there. So
financial stress is like the highest for my adults.
Yeah, that is definitely there. So as we come back to looking up building self-esteem, then how about techniques to help children improve self-esteem and then develop their confidence?
Yeah, one of the best techniques, child-centered play therapy, is returning responsibility. I do not do anything a child does for themselves, and there's a beautiful reason for it. Child has a Play-Doh lid and they can't open it. I say, no, you can do hard things. You can open this. I do not do anything that I know that they can do for themselves. A lot of times, like, parents jump in, they have their own agenda for their kids. Teachers do it for them. And my job is to say, like, you're going to feel better. You're going to be more internally proud of yourself and build that self-esteem when you do it yourself. And I have a lot of times, it's a really interesting process where they'll be like, oh, this is hard. And they like, you can do it. You do it for me. And I'll be like, you can do it. I just return responsibility to them. I work them through that feeling. They get frustrated. You're frustrated. And they work through it. They usually put it down if they're too frustrated, you know, and then they learn like, oh, I can go cope this way. This is how I can go feel safe. They have that environment to do that. And then they come back to it and they do it. That's the cool part, is they actually do it. And so I just think it's huge. Just not do anything for this child that they can do for themselves. They can do so much. Kids are so cool. And they have so much superpowers that, like, I think it's hard to see sometimes because adults, we don't understand. Like, we don't go back to a child. And so it's hard to know, but they really do have it in them. Mm-hmm. And so trusting them, I think that's a huge part, is building esteem and confidence. And then the other one, I do choice giving, which a lot of parents do. So, like, if they're throwing something at my head, I don't want it at my head. You can choose to throw it at my feet or throw it at this pillow. You just give them a choice. It makes them have more control in their life, build that confidence of, oh, I can do this. So many kids with anxiety and trauma play out the theme of power and control, right? They do not feel like they have power or control in their life. And this is how they're expressing it. But once you say, like, here's a healthy way to feel powerful or in control, it's really cool. They build the confidence. They build that self-esteem. And then a huge thing I teach parents is do not praise your child. If I'm saying you're good, I say, or like, good job, I do not say that, because that tells them that I think they're doing a good job, not that they tell themselves they're doing a good job. That's more important. And so encouragement is huge. Like, what I do is I focus on what the effort is, what the intention was behind that. So, like, oh yeah, you have a lot of strength to get that open. You're really pushing through that. I really focus on that effort instead of focusing on, like, the value of them doing that thing through my perspective. That makes sense.
That does make sense. And I really like how you mentioned there, how you let the child do the certain task, opening the Play-Doh container that they can't open on their own for whatever reason, because some adult has jumped in. See, that's interesting, because it shows that sometimes parents need to have some patience and let the children sink in, or let the children do some things for themselves. They don't have to cover everything there. So that's very nice how you work on building that. And see, that's what I have to do with taxpayers, is help them build up their self-esteem, because they've been traumatized and brought down so much. Got to guide them. And sometimes, even depending on the client I'm working with there, sometimes I can even guide them how to prepare some of the paperwork in order so that we can get the information together that they need. Because I can always say an option, well, we need to do some bookkeeping work or whatever. You can do some of this on your own so that you don't have to pay me to do it. Of course, I can always do it. But sometimes once they learn that they can do some of that themselves or get some of those numbers together themselves and be able to put it, that helps them to start getting it into mind that, oh yeah, well maybe, okay, I did make this much money or I did spend this much on this, helps them to understand and then build up that esteem so that down the road, once we get the resolution done, we can become more of an advisor to them through the tax issues. Then they can continue to keep up their bookkeeping. But yeah, we're still there in the background to provide the little nudge, or maybe you need to make this tax payment, or we can meet to perhaps make an adjustment, but yet help them to build the confidence so that they can focus on building their business or taking care of their personal matters and not be so worried about the tax part of it. So
exactly what I do. Play away. That's pretty cool.
So amazing the connection there can be between therapy and tax, huh?
Definitely agree.
Yeah. And I, so now trauma. Now we once again, all this, because it all interrelates like a lot of tax stuff does. A lot of the therapy things all kind of interrelate. And you, because you've touched on these at times, because sometimes, as you mentioned, you got kids struggling like with PTSD or other trauma-related symptoms. When you start at the early stages of that, what does that typically look like?
So the early stages are, they don't trust the world, they don't feel safe in the world, they don't feel safe in themselves. So an early stage is just literally starting at basics. Who are you? Like, what do you like? You just start with these like little things. A lot of kids are really resistant. If they have a lot of trauma, they don't trust like anything, right? So they're really resistant to like believe you. So you really start with that rapport building stage. And what you get is a resistant phase. But once they go through the resistance of like, I don't want to do this. Who are you? Why are you here? Then they realize, oh, this is actually great. I love doing this. I need to do this for myself. And all I do is I plant the seeds. I'm not here giving them like, here's a whole garden. I'm letting them plant the seeds of their work. And I have heard such great things of like, I didn't know that was helpful until this later on. It's really cool. So to see that. But again, a lot of times with traumatized kids, they don't feel like safe with adults because usually it's adults that have traumatized them. So being a safe adult kind of reinvents that idea that there are safe adults. So me being a safe adult for them can be like, oh, there is like this person who was a stranger. She's really safe. I can know that like not everyone is unsafe. And then a lot of times, like I said, they do a lot of power and control because they don't have control of their body. They don't feel powerful. So what you said before, like I empower them. That's my job. I empower them to feel in control of their life and get their control back, but in really healthy way. Like, again, I think a lot of these little boys are so confused. They don't know. I have so many 11-year-old boys that are like, I feel this, like I want to be strong and weak and like powerful. And I'm like, you can. You don't have to hit somebody for that. You don't have to be violent. And I think it's really cool because if you think about that later on, I'm planting a seed where they're not ending up in the prison system. They're not ending up, they're able to take that and use it for like healing later in life. And I think that's what I did with my own, like I'm human too. I have my anxieties and traumas. That's what I learned to do. And I want to just give that back to them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's definitely true because in those early stages, it's very, I don't know, touchy, can be delicate. Getting them started in those early stages and trying to adjust that, especially as you mentioned, they don't trust adults. Guess what? You're an adult therapist trying to help them. And so you're working on building that. And certainly that's absolutely vital. And see, that's like in the early stages when I'm starting with someone who perhaps owes hundreds of thousands of dollars of taxes and they're looking for someone to help them to get that fixed or help them get caught up or whatever. In a way, and like it's baby steps initially saying, okay, these are the first steps we need to take. I need to get your authorization. I need to look at your tax transcripts so I can figure out a way to go forward. And then we discuss that, put that plan together. And then after we put that plan together, we meet with them and say, this is what we suggest we're going to do. And these are the steps to do it. Now, of course, it's a little different than, of course, what you're going, but then they have to decide. Oh, no, I mean, actually, maybe not that much different. They have to decide, are they going to take those steps to this resolution that I have proposed for them and then continue with it? Because as we start getting that trauma, we can even say tax PTSD, especially if it's been ongoing for a long time, we can get them through those early steps and then work them through the process there. So as we look at the next part of it, which this takes a part in tax just as much as it does in family therapy, like you're doing, the family involvement of it. How does incorporating parents or caregivers into your process, of that therapeutic process, How do you do that? And then why is that important?
So for one, I see them 1 hour a week. The parents are with them 24/7 all day, every week, right? Like all the weeks they live with them. Like that's, it's hard to be like, no. I hear that like you come to therapy, you do this work, but I want you outside of this to do everything. And so the kids themselves, they'll use these tools, but the parents will be like, what? Like they don't know, but it's so important for the parents to understand what to do and why. The why is so important. And so I get them there. Like I do check-ins. I start with the parent at the beginning and then 5 weeks at check-in, 4 week check-ins. And I just work with the parents. Here specifically is what this kid needs. This is what he's working on. This is what he's playing out in therapy. This is a tool to help that at home. And I see parents be like, I didn't think of that. Or I've had parents just come. They're like, wait, I was doing it complete opposite because that's what I thought, but I didn't know that this is really what works for this kid. I think it's interesting. Families don't like parents. There's no manual for parenting. There's no perfect parenting. You're not going to know, but like they realize they don't know what really works for their kid until somebody is, I'm one-on-one with that kid. I know this kid struggles. I really see through the psychology of it all, and then can express that to parents and get their involvement is so important. It's vital. In fact, I actually ran a group and it was for parents and children. So it was like parents with kids that are 7 to 10, and they came in and I had like 12 people. So 6 groups, like a parent and child. And I just did in vivo. So in real life, here's how we're going to play it out. This kid, like I did a struggle. They had to do like a timed puzzle or something. And then the kids got frustrated and I taught the parents, what do you do in that situation? And then we did a bunch of role play. Oh, we just did so much in the sessions. And I've been asked to have that group back because I'm like, that was so helpful for parents. Like they need to know. So it is so huge. I have heard parents be like, you just play in there. So I feel like the doubt that parents have, it, you have to overcome. My job as a play therapist is to be like, here, actually, this is really works. And you have to trust that process. Here's how to trust that process and try it out. That's another thing. If they're hesitant, oh yeah, that's one of your questions. But yeah, if they're hesitant, I let them know, try it out and see if it works. Why not? You've been dealing with this for how long? That's how long it's probably going to take to heal this, to work through this. So try it out, like trust it. And when they do, I've great results. I've had awesome success and I've done this 4.5 years. So
yeah, that's great to hear about your success stories in that and getting the parents involved, because that is such a key component. Children have so many other challenges today, and to get the parents to where they are being a parent and learning the different areas or techniques they can use to help their child, because anybody that's a parent knows that if you have more than one child, each of them are different. And so you have to approach them differently because different things work on different children. Well, guess what? When it comes to tax, that's the same things, that different circumstances are different for each case. It's all based on facts and circumstances of the case. And sometimes you have one spouse, I'll pick on the husbands because they're the ones that seem to do it the most, although wives do it too. But the husbands most of the time are hiding some type of tax issue from their spouse, from their wife. It really happens. But then when it finally comes out, it's a kind of a traumatic experience for the wife. And then they got to get together and work it out. Sometimes it leads to divorce as well in the family because of a hidden tax issue. Then we got to work through those items. But then some of them don't even come out until the divorce is even happening. Yes. And so that's where I go in and I can help. Well, we'll say pre-divorce. Say they're not going to get divorced. We're going to go in and talk about that part. They go in and the husband spills his guts about it, gets it all out there, says, this is what happened. We need to get this. This is what I did. And this is the tax it's owed. So they come together, they work on it, they get it done. We walk them through the process saying, okay, this is what you need to do. Husband, this is what you can do. Wife, this is how you filed your tax returns. Yes, the liability is there, but how can we fix this? So we walk through the steps of fixing it through financial statements, bank statements. And a lot of times it's always someone that's self-employed. That's usually when it happens. They have their own business. This is why it's always good to have a tax person, not try to do your own tax return when you have your own business. Someone can hold you accountable, which is what we do for the small business people we work with. We hold them accountable. But then if it gets to the point where there's a divorce happening, and then the attorney, say, representing the wife, they go and they look at the stuff and they realize, oh my goodness, look at all this tax that is owed, that the wife is, because they file joint tax returns, the wife also has a responsibility for it, even though she did not necessarily earn the income. And see, that's where like a family law attorney, they hate tax, by the way. Attorneys hate tax.
Oh, I bet. Oh.
That's where someone like myself, an enrolled agent and certified tax representation consultant, can come in and help the family law attorney, help them to work through those issues so that we can work through the IRS and so that this wife, who could be considered an innocent spouse, may not have to pay those taxes. But once again, that's a whole process that we got to walk through and work together in. And I've actually done some of these cases where the wife didn't even know the husband had filed a tax return a certain way. And in this case, he left off income. And that's because it was a joint tax return. The wife also owed thousands of dollars. But after we went through and did everything, we were able to get show that the wife didn't earn this income and everything. So it all ended up being upon the husband who did everything. And this was actually post-divorce as well that this happened. But see, that's where, once again, those whole processes, that's why I said, in a way, I'm a therapist too, because I got to work through these processes with people there. So
I'm curious, Marcelino, like, how do you separate, like, that's so much emotional toll. When you're an emotional brain, and I can touch on this in EMDR, that's like what I do. When you're an emotional brain, you can't fix a problem. You know, you're like so emotional about like a divorce or anything. How do you like separate that? You're like, no, you have to go to logic, and logic says this is what you need to do. How do you are a therapist for doing that? That is hard. It's hard.
It is hard, especially when you're working with a variety of different taxpayers. And sometimes you come up with the answer, and sometimes the actual answer is they do owe the tax.
Wow.
That is the actual answer sometimes. And thus, how do we help them to properly pay that? Or how do we work them through that whole process? Maybe they can get a settlement. You hear the radio ads or whatever talking about pennies on the dollar. Well, that's not necessarily true, because every circumstance is different. But how can you work them through that process to help them take care of that tax? Or if they actually do owe the tax, but if they don't owe the tax, how do you work through the process to show that the IRS, that they don't have the lie, they don't actually owe this, that it's not collectible, or they're not liable for it? There's processes on that we got to work through. Of course, the best thing is I'm going to talk to another individual on another podcast about preventing the whole problem in the first place.
Oh, that works.
No. That's my goal. Let's just prevent it in the first place. Let's not let it go. But when you have millions of taxpayers who either haven't filed or owe back taxes, there's still a lot of people that need help as well. So as moving on to our next area here, once again, you mentioned this at the beginning. I know nothing about this because, of course, I know nothing about what you do, which is why I've learned so much today about the little areas you do. It's been fantastic. EMDR, whatever that means, you said you treat adults with EMDR. We're not familiar with this. I'm not familiar with. What exactly is that? How does that work, and what's the benefits?
I'm so glad. I want to educate people on this so much. This is awesome. EMDR stands for eye movement desensitization reprocessing. And guess what? It's actually really cool. You're stimulating both sides of your hemispheres. And what that does is, you know, you have a logic and your creative and emotion side. You're just combining them. What I call it is you enact you light up your wise brain. It's really cool. That's really what it does. It makes you really wise, really awesome. So you work through your own stuff. It's really cool. Guess what? You do EMDR. Walking is bilateral stimulation. You are moving both sides of the body. And it's really cool. You think of it like you just like going to walk. It regulates you. You're in a more wise brain. The person who found EMDR was on a walk, and the trees and the light were going back and forth in her eyes. And she was like working through a really hard thing. She was like, there's something to this because I got through it. So here's the analogy is there's a fax machine, and you have a memory or a core belief that gets stuck. Like, I'm not good enough. My parents suck. Anything little. It could be anything. I think EMDR works for anything, but it gets really stuck. It's like a fax machine where it's like, it just keeps getting stuck, or a coffee machine. And what I do is I light up that brain by like stimulating both sides and getting that wise brain on. And it just goes through. It just sends it through. It just gets unstuck. That's all it is. It's really actually that simple. People don't realize this. Like eye movement, we do that in REM sleep. So it literally is stimulating. You process emotions in REM sleep. And this is what is stimulating just in real life. And a lot more, it's more integrated. It's more intentional. is what I do with it. So it's not scary. I think you want to tell people, like, give it a try. You'll be like, wow, it's actually really nice. I have had most clients say, I feel lighter, I feel relaxed, I feel calmer, and I can work through this. So they basically get grounded in the emotion where the emotion doesn't take over. Their logic can be there, but they also feel, they process that feeling. So it's all really all I'm doing with EMDR. And it's such a good modality. It's amazing. So getting trained in that was one of my favorite things because it helps every person. I don't do it with little kids because I do child center play therapy. And that's like the modality I really like with little kids because little kids won't like focus. Like you're like, nope, they don't put attention. Again, they don't go to the prefrontal cortex very often. But even with little kids, if they're bouncing a ball back and forth, they're regulating themselves. They naturally do bilaterals more than people think. So,
okay. So basically, it sounds like you're saying that if I'm getting a little frustrated on a case that I'm working on, I should just go take a walk.
Yes. Oh, that'd be great. No, I do love that. I love that. Like, I use it in my own life all the time. I'm very stressed about my car. I'm not, you know, old car, don't have payments, so I just get stressed. I literally am tapping. I'm doing this if I'm feeling it, and I just can relax and be like, I'm okay. So I use it all the time. And like walks, the best. I don't know one person who doesn't say a walk will help me right now. Walk will feel better. So that's what you're doing. You're regulating your brain. Yeah.
And this particular one sounds more, I will say, more applicable to me in trying to work on the tax case for the tax-prone taxpayer. That I get to a certain part in the case and I'm getting a little frustrated because either A, the taxpayer sometimes is not giving me the information that I am requesting, which also does happen. Or I'm having trouble contacting the IRS, or I can't get the information from the IRS, or I make a certain Freedom of Information Act request and I get the letter that says, oh, by the way, we're going to delay this until March or whatever. I'm like, oh, great. That's not within the taxpayer's time frame. So sounds like I get that stuff. I should just go take a walk real quick to get myself refocused and then get back onto the case to see what's best for the client and see what's worked, what we can continue to do and what we can get done for them so that we can resolve their tax issue. Now, key part about that is resolve. It doesn't mean we're always going to eliminate the tax. It just means we're going to resolve the issue. And we just don't know what the solution is going to be until we actually sit down and examine it, which as I examine it, I may occasionally need to take a walk just to kind of get myself back on focus and back on track. So as long as with the taxpayers, so.
Your brain will light up and will take over because it's so centered, right? That's our need center and emotion. Limbic system is our emotion. And so when you turn on both, when you're walking, you're like, oh, I can do this and I can feel this. I can, you know, solution-based and a process of emotion. Like, it's really cool. So I don't want to give you therapy, but do that. Try that and see how it is.
That's fine. It's really great. It's why I've enjoyed doing this particular series of podcasts with different individuals that are not in the tax business. It's because I've actually picked up little tips along the way that helped me in the tax business. So, okay, progress, which people want to see progress on their tax issues.
Yeah.
But how about for you? So what are some indicators that a child is beginning to heal, regulate better, and is starting to enjoy life?
Yeah, it's really funny. They'll be bored. It's a big indicator. They're like, I don't have anything to do. That's when they're like, I have everything I need in here inside. Mm-hmm. I don't need to work through anything else right now. So it's very interesting. They'll be like, when are we done? It's so cool. You're like, okay, mm-hmm. I think we need to talk about titrating into termination stage, which is so helpful to me because that's my goal is to get them there. Like I said, is not to have, yes, I give them those tools, but it's not for them to come back for me to give them all the time. I want them to have that inside. So when they're self-regulated, you'll see them like, oh, they say, I wonder if I need this right now. They'll use like those statements that I do, or they'll say their feelings, they'll name them. And you're like, you already have this now. You don't need me. Like, cool. I think one part that's like, oh, I'm going to get emotional. Every client I've ever seen, I'll go out and about and they have like mentioned something or they're passionate about something. And I'll be on about in the world and I'll see that or be reminded. And I go straight to that client and it's in my heart. Like they're still part of me, even if they're not in therapy with me. So like every client is just so connected to me. And like, that is so meaningful. I don't know how to like, oh, it's so beautiful. So that's the goal. And I tell them that like they're constantly there.
Yeah, that's great. Now, as far as the progress goes, I'm sure everybody progresses at a different rate.
100%. They do.
Some progress a little faster. Some perhaps can take months, I'm guessing, correct?
Mm-hmm. I have one with years.
Or it could be so years.
So much trauma, so much things.
Well, that's the deal in the tax resolution process, is that when it comes to progress, it can take weeks, months, and even years to solve all resolve an issue. It just depends. Once again, it's all the facts and circumstances. I've had some come in. I've gotten there in the power of attorney to represent them. And within a few weeks, yeah, because of their facts and circumstances, we can get in contact with the IRS, get what we need. We can get it resolved once we understand. And then others took a few months because there was more involved as far as what we needed to do on our end. In this case, some cases, it's like preparing a number of past year tax returns, because the tax resolution process means, first of all, you have to be compliant with your tax filings. You can't even start the resolution process unless you're current on all your taxes. And so it takes months in some case because we got to get them caught up in all their tax returns. And then once they're caught up on all their tax returns, and that's progress.
Yeah, exactly.
And then if that may take care of their issue. It varies once again from case to case.
Yeah.
But in some cases, like one I'm working on right now, it's going to take a little bit longer because we're going to need to go to the next step, really get deeply into the resolution process and submit a certain type of a document to the IRS. That can take 6-12 months for the IRS to even process the document and the supporting information. Because one of the cases I worked on in the last 3 years, because we submitted it, it took a year for them even to give us a response. And when they gave us the response, we were like, you're not right. This isn't right. We're going to appeal this because you can't appeal it. Then once we appeal it, then it took about 3 or 4 months for us to get the appeal process, but we got the result that we should have gotten in the first place. But it took 18 months from the time we initially started that resolution process to when we finally got it resolved. And see, that's one thing that as people work in the tax field, yeah, some things can get done quick. I totally agree with that, but not everybody's circumstances can. Not every case can get done in just a month or 2 weeks. There. Some of them can take months. Some of them can take years. I got colleagues who have some that they've been working on for years just because of the nature of the facts and circumstances in the case. So, but there is progress. And sometimes the progress is literally like turtle progress, but it is progress. And so just like you progress in your therapy, we do progress in our resolution. Sometimes it just takes time. And that's what I tell people. This isn't going to be a quick process. And sometimes even if I tell people that up front, sometimes they get emotional and they decide, well, we're just going to stop working with you. And I'm like, well, okay, well, but this is what we've accomplished. But I always tell them, this is what we've accomplished so far. Here's a report of what I've been able to accomplish so far. And then I let them move on and wish them the best. And then whatever happens, happens from that point on. So anyway, we look at signs of progress. We do what we can, but we always let them know and give them a full report of what we had accomplished in their behalf, because 99% of the time we're waiting on the IRS for something. Then when you get a government shutdown and they're cutting down on staffing, that makes it even more challenging. So, and they're using different things. So, okay, now let's come to a really positive topic here about hope and encouragement. Because you think about a family who's hesitant or unsure whether therapy with their child, what would you want them to know?
I want them to know that it's not that you're bad or wrong or anything if you are in therapy or your kid needs therapy. I think so many parents I see feel like they can be a bad parent because their kid is acting that way, and that's just not true. And I think anyone needs therapy. Yes, I'm biased, but I will say it, like, if I was queen of the land, I would require therapy just because give it a try. Like, why not? It gets harder before it gets better. Mm-hmm. But I think you mentioned this too, like with tax things. And I think this is so true. And I want everyone to know this, like, you're going to have problems. We're human beings and they're going to be there, and you don't have to work on them. You can say no, like that is absolutely your choice, but they're going to still be there mm-hmm. to work. Like, you're going to have to work through that. Mm-hmm. And so come to me, be an active member in your own healing. Mm-hmm. That's where I say, like, try it out. Because it's not that I'm going to look down on you. There's no judgment. Mm-hmm. There's no I don't know. I'm just a neutral party, but I'm also here to support you the best. Like, that is, I care. I so care. I was just on call with a DHS, which is Department of Human Services, a CPS. I have to call in for abuse and neglect. And she was like, you actually care. Why, you're a therapist who actually cares. I'm like, yeah, we should. That is a therapist. But I don't know. I hear you care about your clients. That's why you help them work through these. They might be hard things. That doesn't mean they're bad. Mm-hmm. Or it means that there's work to do. And that's growth. And we're humans here to grow. I do not believe we're here to be stagnant. So there you go. That's my hope.
That is just fantastic, Lydia, because I really appreciate your fact about non-judgment and being neutral, because that's essentially what I have to do, because people already feel bad enough about the fact they owe back taxes. They feel bad enough that they haven't filed tax returns for whatever amount of years. They're embarrassed about it, even emotional to a certain extent. And I don't need to add that. And I'm not going to add that on to their level of guilt, because they already have it. I just need, my job and what I work to do is to eliminate that guilt, explain to them the process of how we're going to get that accomplished, and not criticize them for the fact that they got behind. I mean, yes, it is their issue. Yes, they did take these actions. But in a way, when it comes to this and what I do, yeah, I need to be exactly what you're describing there in being non-judgmental, giving them a level of comfort, which is when I talk to them. They always got a hesitancy when they first call me about a situation, but I try to, lack of a better way to put it, give them some tax therapy right up front to help them to be calm and to be ready to be able to accept that, yes, we could find the solution, but yet, till I have all of the information, I don't know what the solution is, because I'm sure even when they walk into your office there, is that, you know, there's like an issue, but you don't, till you dig a little deeper and talk to them a little bit more, you don't know exactly up front what you're going to do right away, because each of the people you work with is different, just like each of the taxpayers I work with is different. All the potential solutions are different, but that's where the calm, being ready, visiting, treating them like the individual, unique person they are, will get them to open up and then be able to help, so that you can get into the, start digging in the deep, whatever the case may be, and getting into those emotions that you work with and figuring out your plan. Because I'm sure it takes a visit or two or maybe more for you to put together what plan you're going to have for that particular individual, because they're so unique. And that's where I have to dig into tax transcripts and circumstances and tax notices and try to figure out what I'm going to do. I mean, there's a ton of information. Then once you have all the information, it's like, okay, this is what we can do to solve this. And this is what I recommend doing. And then just as sometimes you present your recommendation, and sometimes I'm sure you sometimes get the, I don't think so.
Oh yeah.
You get the doubt. See, I get the same thing. I get the doubt, and I get the thing where people are just like, I came to you to get rid of this debt. And I'm like, well, I can't guarantee I'm going to get rid of this debt, because this is the information that's available to me. But this is what we can do to resolve this according to IRS guidelines. And just like you have the methods and techniques that you use to resolve what comes into your office there. So
I just want to point out, like, I hear you use a therapeutic technique that's really valuable. I think essential in my work, and I see you do it, is just the empathy. You feel that pain or those things that the client is going through. And what that does is that builds connection. That person says, oh, that person understands me. Oh, that person hears me. Oh, that person can get me. And if you can feel empathy for any clients, right, anywhere they're at, and meet them where they're at, that gives them hope. I think that's like the best start. So I hear that you use that and used it on me, which is amazing. I'm like, thank God. Like, this feels actually, you know, you can connect then. You can connect with your tax person, which, well, who would have thought, you know? And I said, well,
well, I don't always talk about this much, but I'm okay talking about it. It doesn't come up much. And I don't know if we talked to, in our other conversations, we talked about it as a fact. I am not a tax person right out of school. I did not do accounting or tax training in college or in high school. It was something I discovered about 10 years after I finished college. I thought I was going to do other stuff, but so I have, as compared to a lot of tax people, because I haven't done it straight out of college like a lot of accounting and tax professionals have, I do have a very different perspective on it. And I have a very I really try to have a unique communication style with it because I know that these people, granted, I've never had these issues myself. I admit that freely, but I have worked with people and I try to help people to do this because I know it's an issue. And I have some colleagues who actually did. I have one of my earlier podcasts. I have a discussion with one of my colleagues, Carlos, who admits the issues he had, and that which motivated him to also get into the same line of work that we're working together. So yeah, so I really work to have that empathy. And I appreciate that compliment there. I didn't. It's nice that I projected in a way that you noticed. Thank you. I do appreciate that there, Lydia. You have just been fantastic today. I really appreciate the opportunity to have you here. Do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share as we prepare to wrap this up?
I think that is so amazing that you can take taxes and therapy and make it in unison and compare and contrast. But also, do you just see how we can have these different fields, but the helping people field is so large. Like, that's so large. And I love that. Like, thank you for helping people. Like, thank you for caring about people, because I think that matters to me. I'm very people over profit, and it matters to me. So.
Yeah, very much so. So just as someone's listening to this podcast there, if someone wanted to reach out to you, Lydia, how can they do so?
Yes, awesome. Go to Heartspace Kids, type it into Google, and you'll pull up my website. Also, Psychology Today, Lydia Schneider. You can find me right away. I'm the first person there, licensed clinical social worker. And I take insurance. I take all these things. Definitely have a wait list. Understand that it's hard to get kids in, but it's worth the wait. So contact me there. My phone number, my business number is on that website.
Okay, great. Yeah. So if you do have something that fits in with what Lydia is covering here, we certainly invite you to reach out to her. She's a fantastic person that can certainly help you resolve through this. And just the positivity you see through here, that rubs off so easily, that enthusiasm. So I'm sure she can give you some great help should you need that type of assistance there. So again, Lydia, I thank you so much for all these insights on safety and mental health and how we can help children and help adults work through these various family issues. Also, as we wrap up here, just like in therapy, solving tax problems is about moving from feeling inferior and stressed to feeling optimistic about your future. I want to help you to eliminate that frustration of owing the IRS or the Colorado Department of Revenue for that matter, so you never have to worry about fines, fees, or money being clawed back again. And stop feeling isolated. Let me stand between you and the IRS. You deserve to feel confident, not ashamed. Visit taxreliefcall.com right now for immediate assistance and to be able to sleep well every night. That's taxreliefcall.com. I'm Marcelino Dodge. And let's get you on that road to relief today.